So each of our four Gospels really, in the first century, had a targeted audience. For instance, Mark is for the Romans. That was his target. And since Mark was the disciple of Peter, it's probably really Peter's Gospel. Matthew was for the Jews. And Luke was for the Greeks. And since Luke was a disciple of Paul, it was probably more Paul's gospel than anything, although Paul was not an eyewitness to God's or to Jesus. But John, he's a fisherman, and he writes a masterpiece. His target was everybody, the universal church, everyone. In seminary terms, we always called it a high Christology gospel, more meaning that it focused on Jesus as God and not so much as human nature. There's still a lot of human in John's gospel, but it's very much the transcendent Jesus here, so to speak. He performs a miracle at his first public appearance, or his first miracle in Cana of Galilee at a wedding. So for a fisherman, though, John had a way with words. He had a way with circumstances. He used an ordinary wedding to describe some very heavy-duty theological concepts for us. The metaphors that he was using in his whole gospel reflected the saving mission of Jesus, and especially here at this wedding feast that day. He was there. He was there for the wedding feast. Although at the time, he thought, hey, this is just a wedding, as far as he knew. But time to reflect, time to have the Holy Spirit work in his life, and he began to really come up with some great concepts, how he was going to portray Jesus. And this day, this wedding feast at Cana, was a great metaphor for the whole mission, the whole saving mission of Jesus, turning water into wine. That's only the superficial act, but it should not be seen, this miracle should not be seen as an attempt to restore order at a wedding. I know most of you had planned weddings. What happens if your head waiter or whoever you're at the meal with, oh, our broilers, our stoves aren't working, but we got some peanut butter and jelly for you. It's probably the same kind of thing that's going on today. There's no wine. So the wedding couple, that would have hurt them bad. It would have been a very shameful experience. So Mary intercedes for them and brings this problem to Jesus at first. What has this got to do with me? My time is not yet. What is his time? To restore order, to restore the order of chaos between God or heaven and between heaven and earth. That's the mission, and that's what Jesus set out to do. That's what this miracle is about. Last week at his baptism, the heavens opened, and Jesus became the bridge from heaven to earth, the connector. That's who he was, and that today is his starting his first act, connecting heaven and earth. And God really reveals himself to us today, the type of closeness that he wants in us. Wedding, he wants to wed us. He even said that to the Jewish people 500 years before our first reading today of Isaiah. He asked, I want to be your king. And the people were kind of scared of that notion. We heard it in our daily readings, readings this week. Nope, we don't want that. We don't want that. You're too powerful. We don't want this transcendence. We want a human king. So they rejected God as their king. And God reveals in Isaiah today, I will wed my people. Jesus is the same thing. What do we hear about in the book of the Revelation? The first thing we're going to do in eternity is have the wedding of the Lamb in us, the church. The church is the bride of Christ. And then the first thing we do is the wedding feast, of Christ. It's kind of a lot to do with what Jesus is trying to talk about, what Jesus is trying to show today, that he is that, the wedding feast. Jesus is the wedding of heaven and earth. Today, Mary asks Jesus something. Take care of this family's shame. I don't think she got it at the time, but she did get one thing. These are Mary's last words in Scripture. She still has a few appearances to go, but she doesn't talk again in Scripture. She says the most important words that we're going to hear. Do what he tells you to do. He told that of the servants today. It's our, that's our walking papers from Mary too. Do what he tells you to do. After 30 years of raising Jesus, all the things that's happened in her life, we just heard a lot of it. To the shepherds, the Magi, the Annunciation, Elizabeth, all these things, the 12-year-old Jesus, pondering in her heart, she knew what to do, she knew what to say. Do what he tells you to do. Now, with the wedding feast, what is wine? Almost all scholars believe that's life. Wine is the life. Life was hard. All they had was water. Water's a great thing, especially in a desert or in the Palestine, that area. Water. It was just, how do you like that to describe your spiritual life, though? Water. We love it in baptism. But what is water? It's odorless, colorless, tasteless. How would you like your spiritual life described as that? Odorless, colorless, tasteless. So Jesus not only performs a miracle of wine, but the best wine. That is the metaphor of life, turning that lackadaisical water into something special. And not just something special, the best wine he's ever had. And abundance, 20, 30 gallon pots times six. Well, we got probably 150 gallons of wine there. Now, weddings were sometimes 6-7 days long, but they had more than they needed. The wedding feast at Cana, that's transforming the water. Water showing that life had run out. Life was dry. Life was odorless, colorless, tasteless. But now it's turned into the greatest thing imaginable, the wine. He breathed new life into his people. We will never run out of the divine life. That's kind of the moral of the story. We will never run out of Jesus. You cannot run out of Jesus. He will be there always and everywhere in abundance.